Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 1 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 13, 1-5. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? Come and touch us and fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. And, you know, I'm always amazed when we get to week 10. It just seems like it comes so quickly. But here we are again at week 10, and I'm looking forward to jumping into the next book. I'm going to be announcing what it's going to be soon. We're going to take a couple-week break off after we finish this. During that time period, I want to encourage you to check out the 10-week Bible study on YouTube. I've been creating daily Bible studies over there as well. I've been going through the book of John, walking through the print book that I've created, the actual Bible study, and we're going through that on a daily basis there. So in the interim, if you want to check out other podcasts, we've got the whole catalog on 10weekbible.com, as well as whatever you can find in iTunes or whatever podcatcher or podcast app that you listen to. You can listen to the archives. Again, everything is always at 10weekbible.com. You can find easy links to get to anything you need to over there. All right, this is Hebrews 13, starting in verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Okay, full stop. Right there. You know, we've said a lot of very interesting things in this book so far, and there's been some difficult things, some controversial things to talk about in the book of Hebrews, but right here, this is new. Everything else that our author has told us has been derived from the Old Testament. He's quoted so much of the Old Testament throughout this book to kind of give us a proof text of what he's trying to explain to us. But right here, this is out of the blue. I mean, do you hear what our author is saying here? Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. You know, and some people are familiar with this phrase, you know, the angels unaware. And it's not that the angels themselves are unaware of being hosted. It's that we're unaware of hosting them. Like, we may have actually been in the company of angels masquerading as humans for the purpose of kind of being with us, checking us out, you know, delivering some message or some encouragement. And so this is crazy, especially to our culture, our modern, fast-paced culture. How often do we stop and entertain strangers? How often do we show hospitality to strangers? I mean, how often do we even speak to strangers? And I think about places like New York City, where you look up and smile at someone, you might get mugged. You know, it's so rare in our culture nowadays to do this. Back then, I mean, he's encouraging these people back then, and you know, by large measure, I've been to third world nations and different places. They are so much more hospitable than Americans. I mean, there's lots of places in America you can find really wonderful people, but when you judge us across all of the different cultures that just exist on planet Earth today, we are not the most hospitable people. I was in Turkey one time on my honeymoon, and my wife and I were just looking at an ancient artifact in this one town out of the middle of nowhere, and this family just welcomed us into their house and served us tea. We didn't even speak the same language, but they were so amazed that we were in this kind of out of the way, off the beaten path kind of area. They just kind of wanted to have us over and talk to us. And, you know, that kind of thing happens a lot in other places. And here we don't do it so much. But what our author is saying is, and he was even saying it to these people back then that were probably much more hospitable by nature than we are. And he's saying, hey, keep doing this. Don't forget to do this. Meaning be intentional. He's saying, don't forget to do this. And you will forget if you're not intentional, if you don't make a plan to do this. You know, this smacks me in the face. It's like, well, we've got a plan to do this. We've got to carve out room in our schedule to do this. And he's saying it's important because you will host angels. Not always. I mean, sometimes it's actually going to be people, but sometimes you will host angels. And by the way, if you ever want to find out if it's an angel or if it's a person, at some point during the meal or whatever, you know, go up to that person and pull up their shirt real fast and see if they have a belly button. Okay, you know, if you didn't hear that, that's sarcasm, you know, because an angel wouldn't have a belly button and so on. You know, don't do that. If you have guests in your house, don't do that, okay? Don't do that. I'm just kidding. But at any rate, this is mind-blowing. I mean, literal angels is what he's saying we'll have just by inviting strangers in. And, you know, I have known many people and I've heard even more stories through the years. You know, where it's like these crazy things happen, these people come over and they have these things and then they never can't find them again, all this kind of stuff. And you wonder, was it a person or was it an angel? And it makes you kind of wonder, you know, there's been supernatural things that happen and stuff like that, that it's just one of those things that it's like, in the end, I don't know that we should do this so that maybe we can meet an angel. But do this because we touch people's lives. And occasionally, we might get blessed in some form or fashion because an angel actually pops in. But if nothing else, this is a good practice to have. This is something that's not really in our culture so much, but it's a good practice to have because it blesses people. It touches the people that God loves. And that's never bad. It's never wrong. Verse 3, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So this one's not quite as encouraging, not quite as cool as the previous admonition we've been given, but it's important nonetheless. When we have friends and people that are taken to prison and you know, this doesn't necessarily mean just taken to prison for righteous means. I think the connotation here is if your friends have been carted off to prison because of their faith or whatever, then suffer with them. But it doesn't say just if they're carted off to prison because of, you know, their faith, because, you know, the culture is against their faith and they've proclaimed it and they've been taken to prison. You know, they had debtors' prisons and things like that. I mean, basically the admonition here is if you have friends and family members that are suffering, suffer with them. Be as if you are the one mistreated yourself. So you can join in with them. Basically commiserate with them. And that doesn't mean kind of go and wallow in the despair and dysfunction of whatever may come out of that. It means go and be with them. Spend time with them. Care for them. That commiserating together, it's a very powerful tool. You know, when you're down in the dumps, especially if you're literally in a prison, there's nothing better than if someone just comes and like, hey, this is terrible. I'm really sorry. Sometimes that's more healing than, you know, the Lord is with you. He said he will never leave you or forsake you. And when you're in the midst of suffering, that's really not the most comforting thing. It's like, yes, thank you. That's very true. But man, I just wish I had someone to kind of be here with me. Sometimes that's the most powerful thing. Verse 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. This one kind of stands on its own. It's pretty clear. You know, when you get married, it's just the two of you. Enough said. No more beyond that. Anything beyond that, it's not just that it's sinful, it's bad. We all know that it's bad. Nothing good comes of going beyond that. It's just pain. It's pure pain. It's nothing but pain. Stay away from it. Again, enough said. Verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And the implication here is you don't need more. I'm here with you. I'm going to take care of you. I will give you everything you need. This is the antithesis of what our Western society, how it functions. I mean, mass consumerism is driven by covetousness. All of our advertisements on television, online, wherever you see them, it's all kind of like, you don't have this widget. You don't have this thing and you need it. You're incomplete without it. You really need this. Your neighbor has this thing. Everyone else who's cool or anyone who's anybody has this thing and you need it. That's how consumerism functions. And so keeping ourselves free from the love of money. And really, you know, there's the Scrooges and you know, the caricatures out there where it's like loving money for money's sake. You know, Scrooge just wanted money. He didn't spend it on himself. He didn't do anything with it. He just wanted the money. And there are people like that. But for the most part, people want the money so they can have the stuff. And so being content with what we have is one of the most powerful ways to keep ourselves free of the love of money. If there's nothing else we need, nothing else we really want other than what we already have, our families, our spouses, our kids, our friends, that's where value, that's where wealth truly does come from. And if we can learn to be content with that, we can do amazing things. As, you know, Dave Ramsey says, we can be out of debt and we can give extravagantly. Once we free ourselves from that love of stuff, we can free ourselves of the love of money. And then all of a sudden, money becomes a vehicle, a tool that we can use to bless our families and bless those around us and bless this world and make this world a better place. If we can keep ourselves free of the love of stuff, be content with what we have, we can keep ourselves free of the love of money, because God is never going to leave us. So what else do we need? I think that's a good place to end for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I do appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes or any other podcasting platform that you listen to this on. It helps other people find out about this podcast, which I hope and pray will encourage people to fall more in love with God's Word and then more in love with God. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.